This is Metal Mike, and in this episode, I talk with Dangerous Toys and Dirty Looks guitarist Paul Lytle. Paul gets us up to speed on all the current activity from Dangerous Toys, Dirty Looks, and his band, 99 Crimes. Of course, we hear some stories of the past. This is the 80s Glam Metal Cast. What do you expect? But before we go any further, if you're watching this thing on YouTube, go down, hit the like button, and hit the subscribe button. Appreciate it. Also want to give a special shout out to my supporter, Kevin, out there. Kevin, thanks for supporting this episode, my friend. I know you're a big Dirty Looks fan. You've been asking for Paul. Here he is. Check it out.
All right. Well, Paul, welcome to the 80s Glam Metal Cast, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, no problem. So what's been going on? You got any new music on the way? You got any gigs coming up? What have you been up to?
Yeah, well, Dangerous Toys has been firing back up. We were in Houston a couple weekends ago, and last weekend we played in Denver.
Great.
This weekend is Minneapolis for the Rocktember Festival. And then the weekend after that, the band I used to play with back in the 80s, which is called Dirty Looks, is playing a reunion show. Now, the lead singer passed away about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this show is sort of in tribute, sort of paying homage to him and, you know, the music that we made back then.
Mm-hmm.
So myself, Jack Pyers, on bass, and Gene Barnett on drums, all played on the Atlantic albums, which was Cool from the Wire and Turn of the Screw.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be joined for that. Actually, Jason McMaster from Dangerous Toys is going to sing that night, and then a buddy of ours, David Beeson, is also going to play guitar. That's gonna be a special night, and that's gonna be in Seelands Grove, Pennsylvania, on September 18th, and that will be at the Seelands Grove Speedway.
Nice.
And then Dangerous Toys has dates going all the way through this year into, boy, I guess next March, all over, including the Monsters of Rock cruise, which is always a blast.
Oh, yeah.
We've done that about four times now, and so this will be number five. That's always the greatest experience. It's like, you know, it's a big festival on a boat. So, I mean, it's fun playing the shows, and it's fun going to see all the other bands.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now, this show that you guys tried to do this back in 2020, right? Like a Dirty Looks reunion with Jason singing, and then the whole COVID thing happened. Is that right?
Oh, it was booked for, I want to say, you know, like March 18th or something. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I think everybody remembers right around March 10th, you started hearing about stuff, and then around March, probably by March 13th or 14th, the whole world was changing.
Yeah.
And of course, that, you know, all the dates just went away. Dangerous Toys had a ton of dates booked, including the M3 Festival booked last year in 2020. And, you know, of course, that all was a wash. So, yeah. So we've been anticipating this for actually many years. So we even we tried to get like a reunion show together back when Henrik was still alive, and it didn't work out, but so this has been something many years in the making. So it's but there's only this one date for Dirty Looks. Only the one date is booked.
Does it blow your mind that, you know, all these years later that people are still discovering this album, still loving this album? Actually, going back to like the Cool from the Wire album, does it blow your mind?
It totally does. Yeah, it. I wouldn't have ever thought that, you know, all these years later that people would still care, but they seem to. And we're happy to play and, you know, revisit these old songs like old friends, you know.
Right.
So it'll be cool brushing the dust off of you know, about 30 years of dust off of these songs. We rehearsed last year for the show, and then we'll be rehearsing again before this show. So it'll be all nice and tight, and it's going to be a good long show. So we're really looking forward to it and excited about it.
Are you playing mostly songs from those two Atlantic albums?
Yeah. Yeah, those are the ones that all three of us all were part of. So that's the song choice for this show.
You know, on Twitter, got a lot of people that follow me and that I interact with that are, you know, really into, you know, 80s hard rock and heavy metal. And a lot of stuff gets tweeted out about Dirty Looks all the time. And people are always jumping in. You know, if that album cover is posted, people go crazy. You know, that, you know, Cool from the Wire is an amazing album. Or Dirty Looks, an amazing band. So, like I said, I'm always used to seeing so much stuff about Dirty Looks because people just love you guys.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, that was that album, gosh, I was 23 years old and found myself standing in a studio with Max Norman, who is the producer for, you know, Ozzy. He did Crazy Train and, you know, the first and second and the tribute Ozzy albums, as well as he's done a lot of other bands, including Dangerous Toys. So he's produced a lot of different bands, but standing next to him and recording that Cool from the Wire album was quite an experience, because, you know, I realized that at some point it was Randy Rhoads standing next to him.
right. Yeah, that is wild.
You know? So it was like, okay, so yeah, I'm definitely not going to impress this guy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you guys created a really, you know, kick-ass album. And, you know, when you read reviews or different comments, you know, there's a lot of, you know, AC/DC comparisons, but I feel like there's a lot of other stuff in there too. You know what I mean? It's I feel like there's some Zeppelin and some Accept and even, you know, a lot of more metal stuff than just like AC/DC. There's a lot of influences. What kind of influences did you bring to the album?
Well, back to the original statement, yeah, when I first joined the band, I told everybody I joined a band that sounded like Accept.
Yes, there you go. Okay.
Because that's what I thought it sounded like.
It did, yeah.
And then the AC/DC comparison, I guess, came later. The releasing O Ruby, which was definitely AC/DC-esque, mm-hmm. Releasing that as, you know, the first video on MTV, definitely pegged the band as like an AC/DC thing, because that was primarily what people saw. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you know, if people were listening to other songs besides that, they would hear a lot of different things, you know. Mm-hmm. I kind of think I hear Aerosmith in there.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have said that before too, like an Aerosmith AC/DC hybrid, which, yeah, you know, there's two of my favorite bands right there. Throw Van Halen in there, and we're pretty happy.
When you look at the album, Turn of the Screw, once again, a lot of great songs on there. I was reading about it, now Bo Hill was producing this, and then he was out. What was going on there? Was he kind of, did you guys feel he was watering down the sound of the band, or?
It just wasn't clicking, I guess, for whatever reason, with him. And then we got John Jansen on board, and he had worked with like Alice Cooper and a bunch of other bands, and he sort of provided what I think of as more of a raw sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a little bit more stripped down, a little more Highway to Hell, you know, with the real stripped down kind of production, as opposed to you know, something that is more produced. Yeah, I thought it turned out really cool. I liked the overall sonic stripped down kind of sound of that,
mm-hmm.
Which is a little bit different than Cool from the Wire, but I think it works great for the song.
Out of those two, do you prefer one over the other? Do you gravitate toward one?
I personally, I think there's some great songs on both.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, just because of my experience level on the second record was, you know, I had quite a bit more experience. I feel like I like my playing better mm-hmm. on the second album. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the first album is also pretty cool. I call it the first album. It's not the first album.
Right, it's not.
Dirty Looks has a lot of records. There was one, two, there was at least two before Cool from the Wire. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There was a self-titled one and another album called In Your Face. And then there's also an album released called I Want More, but I think that has some songs from each of those two albums on it. Mm-hmm.
What happened in the 90s? Did Dirty Looks just kind of fall victim to what happened with a lot of bands with grunge coming in? What happened? Did you get dropped from Atlantic? What was the story?
Yeah, we were in California. We were doing production for the next album, and we were going to go to the same studio that Skid Row did their first album. And so everything was all set to go for that. And then all of a sudden, all the bands got dropped. Hard rock bands got dropped all at the same time. Yeah, that was a tricky time. But then we released an album on Rock World Records through David Krebs. David Krebs is a huge name in the industry. He managed Aerosmith early on. He managed Aerosmith to, you know, the height of their fame back in like the 70s, and he managed AC/DC back then. He managed Ted Nugent, so he was this huge force, and so he took a liking to the band, and so we put the Five Easy Pieces album out on Rock World Records, which was through Sony.
Nice. And then, did you stick around for any more, or were you out at that point, or what happened with your time in the band?
That was the last album we recorded. What is that? 92, I think. And then we toured that album through 93. We had another video on MTV for actually two of them off that album. We did, Five Easy Pieces and, nope, I'm wrong. Just the one off that album. So that was 92. And then the band sort of folded in 93. And, as soon as it folded, then I was invited to come to Texas to join Dangerous Toys, which I did.
Now, did you know these guys prior in Dangerous Toys? How did this pairing come together?
Well, first of all, they were just about my favorite band. And second of all, we knew them from just being on the road. One of the first times that we played in Austin, Texas, Dangerous Toys was playing one of their first shows of their LA Guns tour. And we went to see them before our show. And that was the night that I met Jason. So we kind of stayed in touch throughout for the next couple years. And when they needed a guitar player, they called me, which I was really happy about.
Yeah, that's a nice gig to fall into, man. You know?
Yeah. Actually, the way it worked was when the Five Easy Pieces album came out, they had asked me to join at that time, mm-hmm. and at that time I couldn't because we were getting ready to go on a Dirty Looks tour. So it was actually then they asked me again after Dirty Looks split up.
I got to ask you this. When I look at a lot of the, you know, the albums that you've been on, you know, with Dirty Looks or Dangerous Toys, it'll say, you know, all songs written by the band or whatever. But as a writer on those albums, what was your contribution? Were you more of like a music contributor, a lyric contributor? What did you contribute to both of those projects, Dirty Looks and today to Dangerous Toys?
Both music, a little bit of lyric. Mm-hmm. Primarily, you know, music and ideas and, you know, arrangement ideas and things like that. But for the most part the music. But, you know, every once in a while, you know, Henrik would ask me about lyrics or throw some in for Dangerous Toys as well.
Let's talk about your band 99 Crimes. And I gotta say, you know, I had listened to, you've got a couple new singles that you put out in recent years, and I listened to those, and then I went back and I listened to the whole album from 2019. Man, that album's really good. I like it a lot. It's a lot. It's actually different than what I was expecting. I kind of was expecting, you know, I was expecting more like Dirty Looks and Dangerous Toys, and it really doesn't sound like that. And the other thing is your voice, man. You got a great voice. Have you always been a singer, or is this something you've been working on in recent years? Let's talk about the singing.
Yeah. I've always sang, and I've fronted several bands over the years, and so it's something I was real comfortable with. And I love to sing. I think the singing was a big part of me getting hired, both for Dirty Looks and Dangerous Toys. Mm-hmm. Because they both needed, strong backing vocals. So, so my love for singing kind of came in handy for that, too.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You always need a, especially with, good, powerful rock, you got to have a powerful background vocals for the choruses, for sure.
Yeah, and then 99 Crimes, just being a trio, that's real, real out in the open, like, everything you do, people hear, there's nothing to hide behind,
Right, so exactly.
I kind of like that.
So you got two singles out that were put out last year, Wolf Blood Moon and Chasing the Dragon. Will these end up on a new 99 Crimes album, or are you just doing singles at the moment? Where are you guys headed?
We would like to put out another album. These days, it seems like the whole, putting out an entire album seems to be not as common. It'll remain to be seen whether it'll be, an EP or another full album or singles. But we do have another song still in the can that hasn't been released.
Who are some of your, I know you mentioned a couple of your influences. Obviously, you liked, AC/DC, except Van Halen. What are some influences that you see coming out in 99 Crimes that maybe have never come out in other things that you've done?
I think there's, elements of probably Van Halen and Aerosmith, and a lot of people say they heard, elements of, like, Dio in there, which... Okay. That's always been a big one for me. I've always been a big Ronnie James Dio fan, and met him once, and he was really nice. Somebody else said Loudness, and they mentioned some song that I wasn't familiar with. But I love Loudness.
I love Loudness, too. Yeah, no, I didn't hear that. I love Loudness. Know? Yeah, love them.
Other than, trying and failing miserably to sound like Aerosmith. I don't think there's any other intentional, influences. I feel like I'm always trying and failing to write Aerosmith sounding songs. Then they end up sounding like something totally different.
When you look back at this whole experience, especially with Dirty Looks in the 80s, I mean, you got to be on a major label. You got videos that were on MTV. It's got to make you feel good. Even though Dirty Looks, let's say, didn't get to the heights of popularity of, say, like Motley Crue or Def Leppard or somebody like that. I mean, you made it pretty damn far, and you accomplished a lot of things. You've got to look back at that time period and be proud of what you guys did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I understand the odds of, something like that happening. Yeah, I consider myself to just be really, really lucky, Of course, I felt like Dirty Looks was one of the harder working bands that I knew before we got signed, The other bands were kind of just playing locally, and we were touring up and down the East Coast hardcore and, making $5 a day each. And, we were the road crew. But even still, we even had a very realistic idea of the chances of success. So when we were signed to Atlantic, that was – really, really, really cool and really, really exciting.
I feel like I've been skipping all over. This is unusual for me because usually I follow a timeline, but I'm skipping all over the place. Okay, let's get back to Dangerous Toys. So the majority, let's just say, of their popular output was created before you were in the band, right? But you've got to play it all live. Is there a song of theirs that you have a favorite Dangerous Toys song or a few songs that you enjoy playing live?
Yeah, I like Bones in the Gutter has always been like one of my favorite toy songs.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So every single time that one comes up, I'm excited about that.
It's crazy because I remember having the first Dangerous Toys album and you know, obviously, you know, all the singles and stuff that were on MTV. And then I don't know, I remember a little bit of the Hellacious Acres, but I don't think I ever owned it or anything. So before I interviewed Jason, I went back and I listened to it. And man, I was loving it. I think I liked it better than the debut. And it was funny, there were certain songs that were really catchy. And then he was like, you know, we don't even like those songs. the label made us play those songs or something like that. And I was like, wow, those are really cool, catchy songs.
We play Line 'Em Up almost every show.
Mm-hmm. I think there was one, though, I want to say Black and Blue Valentine or something like that. He was like, oh, yeah, we don't like that song. That was a song that the label had us do.
They brought in, yeah, that was a collaboration with an outside writer. So I think it doesn't feel like a toy song to them.
Yeah. It's funny, though, but how, like, an outside, you know, an insider has that, you know, for them, it's like, geez, I don't like that because, you know, that was forced on us. But then the listener sometimes doesn't know this stuff and just likes it because, hey, this is a really cool, catchy song. I'm kind of a sucker for catchy tunes. So for me, if it's heavy and it's catchy,
I am too.
I love it.
Yeah, I like that one too. Popular songs, well, certainly the most popular would be the first Dangerous Toys album, you know, that had a lot of the hits on it.
Right.
And then Hellacious Acres, the Pissed album, we still play songs from that as well. That's the third album.
Yeah, that's a cool one. It's a little heavier than the other ones. That's a good one.
Yeah, and that's the first one that I played on. Shortly after I moved to Texas, that one was recorded.
Yeah, well, that's a
cool
one.
And followed by, and then in, so that would have been 94, early 94, and we toured all of 94. And then it was like in 95, going on 96, musical climate began to change quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
You know, I mean, it had started in 92, but by 95 or 96, well, for one thing, we didn't have any interest in writing anything that sounded like the first album. And, you know, there was really no demand for anything that sounded like that either.
No, not at that point.
So we just wrote with only one rule. And that was nothing that sounds like the first album, but other than that, anything goes. And that ended up being the fourth album. And after it was, or while it was being mixed and stuff, the producer was, and we were all kind of saying, wow, this, you know, this doesn't even sound like, you know, anything like anything Dangerous Toys has ever done before. So that's why it was referred to as the artist formerly known as Dangerous Toy.
I remember that. Yeah, that was cool. And it's obviously kind of like a little pun on what Prince was doing at the time. So, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually his Love Sexy album.
Right, with the clown. Yeah,
with the clown, which is really kind of creepy looking, I think. yeah, that album cover is just a little bit uncomfortable, I always thought.
I think it's hilarious. I remember when it was out at the time thinking it was hilarious. So, yeah, I think that was well played,
and
man. Well played.
There's almost nothing you could do right, you know,
for a band
like Toys. For many years, we would play, you know, a handful of shows throughout the year. And that's kind of what we've been doing since, I guess, 96 and 97.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the band's been active consistently, you know, all the way for the last 33 years, I guess. But as far as like hardcore touring, that sort of stopped in, you know, the later 90s.
What do you think? You think there's another, there's potential for another Dangerous Toys album?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's in the works. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of songs that are written, and we're in the process of writing some more. So everybody's real spread out, so it's kind of a slow process, mm-hmm. but it is progressing. Yeah, and it's going to be really cool.
Awesome, man. I'm looking forward to that. Paul, it's been great talking with you, man. What do you want to say to all these people that have been following you all these years?
Oh, just want to say thanks so much for you know, sticking with me and being interested in anything I have to do, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to put a link to the 99 Crime stuff in the description of the video. You guys got to check it out. It's fresh, new rock, stuff that you haven't heard a million times. You're going to love it. So my recommendation is to check it out.
Cool.
All right, brother. Well, hey, I know we talked a while ago, and I'm glad we finally were able to put it together. And I wish you lots of luck with all the shows you've got coming up, and especially that Dirty Looks one, because I think a lot of people will be interested in that. And hopefully you can do some more, you know, because I think people would love to see it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to it as well. And, you know, you never know. We might do more after that. We'll see.
All right, Paul. Hey, man. Have a great night, buddy.
Thanks. You too. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yep. Take care, man.
Well, that was awesome talking with Paul. Hey, we've still been jamming a lot on this channel, too. We just did a cover of Motley Crue's All in the Name Of. So make sure you check out that one. It's in the description. Check that thing out. Hit like, hit subscribe, and rock on!